This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we are going to do Point Break, son. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. But let me clarify something before you switch off your podcast. We're not talking about the Piece of Shit 2015 or 16 version. Uh-huh. We're talking about the 1991 original, OG.
The classic.
Classic, starring Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves in an early role, along with Gary Busey, Laurie Petty, and Johnny C. McGinley. It was released July 10, 1991. Runs for 123 minutes and made for $24 million, as directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who would eventually be an Academy Award winning director, written by W. Peter Iliff, from a story by he and Rick King. And it made, off that $24 million, $83.5 million.
Holy shit, that's a killing.
Some 24 years later, someone thought it'd be a good idea to remake that film. And if you go back far enough in the archives of this show, you can find our review of that and how big a piece of shit it was. But, Wayne, what is Point Break about?
Point Break is about a young, hotshot, former college football star, Johnny Utah, played by KK, Reeves. And he joins the FBI after a career-ending injury to his football thing. And then his first partner, Angelo Pappas, a role played by Gary Busey's teeth, has a theory about the identities of these ex-president bank robbers that they're chasing down. He reckons they are surfers. And that's what this movie is about. Him going after the surfer bank robbers with Gary Busey and yelling and being Keanu Reeves and shit. Am I right?
Very much so.
Put simply, Point Break is the greatest movie ever made about bank robbing surfers.
100% agree.
By the way, I saw this originally in the cinema with Paulie. You remember that, Paul?
I do, actually. Yeah, I do remember going to movies year 11, I think.
Yeah, vaguely, it was like 91. It was like mid-91, man.
Yep.
So it was almost the 80s. So.
Which, first thing I want to say about the film is it actually holds up really well. Like, it doesn't look that dated.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Like, the clothes don't look that bad. Like, Keanu looks banging in a suit at the start. He is a handsome man. I know he's a good-looking bloke now.
He is a handsome man.
Even now, 30 years
later.
No, now
he's like gruff, but back then he was like pretty. Oh, he was like pretty.
Damn. Like, and for the record, can I go on record and say far prettier than Laurie Petty? I would be way more into Keanu than I would be into Laurie Petty, because Laurie Petty is not my jam, if I can put it that way.
I have a bunch of questions about the movie, which we'll go into later, but like, my first one upon seeing this is like, that's who you're going with?
Yeah, she's batting out of her league in this film. She gets Swayze and Keanu. I'm like, hang on, something's wrong in this universe.
That's right. And you would think, as a casting director or whatever, right? Like, the woman that snags Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves, who's she going to be? And then you settle on, she's fine, right? But she's not like, I don't get it, right? So I never got that about the movie, but it didn't make me not like it.
Well, and her role's not beefy enough to get a sense that she's this wonderfully engaging personality / person.
That's right.
So
in fact,
she's
a bit of a cunt at the beginning.
Yeah, you know.
She rebuffs his seeming advances.
Yeah.
So, but in a way, it's like, you gotta go, you know.
But she does, she does save his life, so let's not be too harsh on her in that regard.
Did she?
Yeah, when he almost drowns, when he gets dumped by the wave.
Oh, well, was he really dying, though?
Yeah, well,
he
was in a lot of trouble.
He was in trouble. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Anyway.
Okay, look, she's fine.
So, I thought this film held up really, really well. I was most pleased by that, because I can't remember the last time I watched this film, but it would be at least 15 years ago, so. There was some moments. I mean, I certainly knew all the major plot beats. And do we need to keep it spoiler free, or can we just go into it? What do you reckon?
Look, in my head, we don't. But if you like, we can just move them towards, I don't know, like towards the end. And it's your call.
All right. Well, in that case, we'll stay spoiler free. I knew all the major plot beats. I knew who lives and who dies and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So that
did
was
you? Oh, because you've seen it before.
Yes, because I've seen it before. My point is, some of the particulars of it only sort of reoccurred to me as I was watching it. That's how long it's been since I've seen it. You know how when you are, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then it happens. You're like, oh, yeah, now I remember it. You know?
Which is sort of like its own experience when you're watching one of these classic films that you always sort of liked or saw.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about being a parent is getting to rewatch films you haven't seen in a long time that you loved and then introducing them to your children and going,
yes.
Oh, it's good. Oh, shit, I didn't remember this bit's in it. Fast forward.
Yeah. Or did they react like this? I was hoping they'd react like this. Or they didn't, you know? But you know what I remember about this film? Opening scene, okay? So, you know what I'm talking about here? This is how they... It's a ridiculous opening scene, but I adored the visual and the cool way
the contextualizing between surfing and and Johnny Not Utah even... killing it on the shooting range.
Yes! Okay, so it's, first of all, Keanu Reeves is at some kind of FBI shooting range, apparently doing some kind of shooting firearms exam or something because he's graduating from the FBI. Of course it's a slow-mo during the rain. Why would they still do that exam if it was raining? And it was outside. They just wouldn't do it.
Because,
okay?
Wayne, anyway, you can get into a gunfight as an FBI agent, rain, hail, or shine.
Oh, my God. It's so cool. I didn't give a shit. All right? So he switches from emptying his pistol into each target into blowing things up with a shotgun. And then, like, the guy goes like, "What? Nice work, Utah. 100%, you know?
And he's like,
and I was like,
"Vindication!"
To be fair, if there's an alternate cut where he does that, I would like to see it. But I'm thinking to myself, this motherfucker's cool. Remember, early 90s people. Early 90s, okay? Very cool. Also, he beefcaked up for it a little bit to make it like, check out this t-shirt, right? Mm. So it's that kind of shit. I loved all of that
and
shit.
And the scene is soon, not that we're going to go blow by blow through the whole film, but then the next scene is him rocking up for his first gig as a FBI agent at the LA office. Right. Yep. And he's met by Johnny C. McGinley in full traditional arsehole 80s/90s captain mode, which is great.
Right.
And there's no better person. Johnny C. plays a great, great arsehole. He's so good in this. And unfortunately, he does act rings around Keanu in this scene. Like, I don't know.
Dude, the whole cast acts rings. The C acts rings around fucking Keanu. All right? That's not a problem.
Anthony Kiedis acts rings around.
Anthony Kiedis Red Hot Chili Peppers the tits out of Keanu Reeves. All right? That's not a problem at all.
When he saw Keanu acting, he was like, that would be a waste of time.
Yeah, he looked at Keanu Reeves and was like, shh. This motherfucker should give it away now. I hope everyone else is having a good time.
But look, he's not a great actor in this, and he's learning his craft. He's honing his craft. I truly believe Keanu does become a good actor in certain roles later in his career, but here, not so much.
Dude, do you know what motherfucking role he was using this movie to train for to be good in? It was fucking Street Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Keanu Reeves in that film, if he was, first of all, if he was that guy in this film wouldn't be that good. This is the closest I get to appreciating So Bad It's Good. Part of this movie's charm is Keanu's bad acting.
that opening That's shot, it. He's walking through the FBI halls. Great shot by Catherine Bigelow with the camera whipping around, a one shot sort of intro, you know, finding each actor and whatever else. And then, you know, at the end of it, he's disagreeing with everything Johnny C says. Or Harp says everything, and then he just grabs a donut and goes, "I love me these," and bites it in his face. And it's so bad.
This is the best.
And
Johnny
C's reaction is so priceless. It's just, I can't even
remember. He said something. I guess we must just have ourselves an asshole shortage, huh? And then he winks and walks away.
Yeah.
And then Keanu's like, "Not so far." The thing is, right? First of all, yes, Johnny C, Captain, was it Dr. Cox, whatever, right?
Yep. His
shit is cool. Also, congratulations on us finally seeing a white police captain. He did very well to be a white man in that job.
Well, FBI police captain.
Sorry, FBI is fine. Of course, he's white.
Senior agent. And then, of course, we introduced Gary Busey post-accident. So I did look this up to wonder whether or not this was Gary Busey, you know, before he had his motorcycle accident or after. 88 apparently had his accident.
Is that why he's nuts?
Well, there is a lot. I mean, apparently he did sustain closed head open or closed head injuries, and apparently his personality did change a bit after this accident. And he's not crazy Gary Busey like we've seen in some of the other films. He's on the edge. And I think he's good in this one. Like, I really bought...
No, he's great.
I really bought their chemistry that they established together, except, and I have to point this out, the ridiculous moment in this film where Pappas and Utah, both in sync, mime surfing together in the office.
Because it jumps on the table, jumps on the desk. It's like,
Pappas jumps. I'm like, why would anybody do that in their right fucking
Because,
mind?
Paul, it looked fucking great.
No, it
how
didn't.
Else do you put a, how else do you put a button on a scene which is mostly dialogue? Sex
I lost my shit laughing. I was like, that was so dumb.
No, because what happened was Gary Busey jumps on the desk, strikes a pose while Keanu's also in the pose. What's in sync is they both go, at the same time. Great. Just pure cinema, everyone. Pure cinema.
I'm going to tell you right now, the film lost half a fucking staff on me right there.
See, but that's the thing about Point Break that you got to love. It's stupid shit like that. Gary Busey talking about meatball subs. I enjoy that as a thing, like because of this movie. I do. It's really cool. Like the Swayze being that spiritual surfer. Have you ever met a spiritual surfer, Paul?
Oh, well,
I've met like
in
three.
In my epic surfing career, no.
Man, I don't even, I'm Asian and don't go near the water, so I don't even see surfers yet. I know three. But like they are very much like that. It's like, yeah, this is what I do. So I don't know. It's kind of, for you in particular, because one of your Cornetto Trilogy movies mocks this film. Or not mocks.
No, I think it pays homage to it, yeah.
It definitely pays homage. Definitely pays homage. Because that run, that foot chase.
That's a great scene.
Fantastic.
Yeah, excellent. One of the best foot chase scenes I think ever put to film, to be really honest.
Right, it went so long, man. And then, like, the whole
It's funny you say that, because on rewatch this time around, I was like, oh, I thought it went longer.
Really?
Yeah, so I was clearly wanting more by the end of that scene.
Ah. And did you know that Swayze did not film that scene?
Doesn't surprise
me. He was doing press for Ghost.
There are some blatantly bad stunt doubling in this film, as per an 80s/90s film. Really, like, when they're doing the skydiving a couple of times, I'm like, fuck. Could you have at least got someone who's got the same fucking color hair? For crying out loud.
Do you know that there was Swayze's only allowed to do one jump because his insurance company intervened and said you can do one jump?
Well, that jump must have been the shot where he's looking at the camera and jumps out of the plane.
Yes, that is the one shot that he did. Okay?
I was like, that's impressive. Holy shit, look at that. Patrick Swayze actually jumped out of the plane. I mean, I am impressed. Because okay. Not in 91, there's no trickery around that shot. It's not green screen. It's nothing like that. Nope. It is absolutely him who jumps out.
And in fact, they had an air ram thing where they could shoot actors from below to do their lines while they're flying in the air, supposedly.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, everything else was like stunt doubles or that one shot with Patrick Swayze.
Mm.
So
we'll come back to that in spoilers about that scene, because I have some qualms with it.
I also have some qualms.
But can I also come back to Pappas for a moment? And the moment where they kind of gel over this, their green new recruit versus hardened expert.
Yep.
And Utah prods him into getting into him angry, and of course we get one of the greatest lines in soundboard history.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit! I was taking shrapnel to taste on while you were crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face!
First of all...
I was so happy when I heard that. Like, that's from the soundboard!
The way you just used the soundboard is actually how one should use a soundboard, for pure reference.
How would you like to suck
not for effect!
No, it's used to put you in your place. That is the proper purpose/ use of the soundboard.
It was bastardized by people like you. But yes, that actual quote was the shit, because we were sitting there going, this is piss funny, man. Like, and just, I don't know, Gary Busey playing the overweight dude, like, I just...
So goddamn hungry. Eat three of these things.
That's right. See, meatball sub talk by Gary Busey is class. And that's why this movie, because it's remorselessly over the top. There are camp qualities to this, which somehow, to me, I can still take seriously. I still like watching this film. It's really, really cool.
Look, I did too. I think we can maybe wrap up the non-spoiler section now by basically saying it's a good film. You've obviously seen it. Well worth a revisit during this lockdown quarantine time. Good stuff from everyone involved, particularly Catherine Bigelow, who you can totally see how this is an early film for her. Like, I think this is after Near Dark. But
it's like you can see the charm she has as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Through this film.
There are some slow moments, and it's certainly not a perfect film. And Johnny Utah is
inarguably... Bite your tongue.
Johnny Utah is inarguably the worst FBI agent who has ever lived. So on that basis, it will affect my overall score, but we'll get to that at the other side of spoilers.
Didn't he go undercover using his actual name? I don't think that's how you do it.
Well, he kind of had to, because Patrick Swayze recognized him as soon as they played the football game against
each
other.
That's right. So, a horrible choice to be an undercover policeman if you're actually famous already.
I guess this is pre-internet day, so it's not like you can type into it, what's Johnny Utah done since he retired? He went into the police force. He's training at the FBI Academy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. All right.
But nevertheless, yes, I have, again, we'll come to it in spoilers. A lot of qualms with the way he performs his job in this film.
Oh, hell yes. Let's hit it.
All right. Here we go with spoilers for Point Break from 1991. Come on. Seriously. Fuck. Spoiler. Spoilers. All right, then. We are now going to talk freely about the rest of the plot of Point Break. Wayne, take us away. Qualm/what else you want to say about the film? Obviously, okay. So he goes undercover with them. He realizes finally after taking Anthony Kiedis' crew that they're not the bank robbers, at least Tom Sizemore, who pops up in a cameo. Did you recognize him?
Yeah, totally. I remember when it happened. I was like, oh, that's Tom Sizemore right there.
As the undercover guy, and clearly he puts a lot of weight on between this film and Red Heat. Heat.
And he just got huge.
Apparently Tom Sizemore had a lot of issues, but it's a podcast for a different day.
Okay, all right.
And then they realize who he is because he tries to shoot them all during their bank robbery, and they have the chase scene and whatever else. And then from here, if you thought he was bad in his job already, by this point it goes nuclear.
Okay, so after the shootout or whatever, right? Or that chase or whatever.
Hang on. No. When he busts Anthony Kiedis' gang, Papa says to him, stay out of the line. Only be backup, which is because we need to preserve your identity. Cover. But yet, everyone sees him. I mean, not all the guys die. Like, two of them live. And so they go to prison, and they're just going to go, hey, that dude who was on the beach, he's a cop. And that word's going to spread around. How does it not get back to Bodhi and his crew?
Exactly. And even worse than that, it's like, this is the question. I actually had this question when I saw it the first time, okay? So after that thing, Bodhi and all of his crew turn up at Johnny's house. And they're like, yo, man, we're going to go skydiving right now. Let's go.
You've jumped ahead. So then he goes anyway, point being, he's already gone back in. Then he chases Bodhi and his crew. And Bodhi doesn't let Roach shoot him or whoever it is shoot him. And then he doesn't shoot Bodhi and does the iconic firing of the gun in the air, screaming in anguish, which is the best bit of acting he does in the entire film.
Perfect. Yes, I would agree.
And then he goes back to see, is it named Tyler? Laurie Petty's character. I'm like, hang on. Your cover is blown, motherfucker. What are you going back into the field for?
Well, that's what I'm referencing that scene. Like, does he not know his cover is blown? And even if he does, let's say he does, right? Because he must do. Patrick Swayze and the dudes come in. They say, let's go fucking skydiving. Does he not go...
No, I bought that scene because they don't give him a chance. He's reaching for the gun and they sort of usher him out. So they've pushed him into that. I kind of bought that
part. A lot of chances to take, though.
Yeah. And the whole point here of Bodhi's is not to kill him, but to implicate him in the robberies. So what's the end point here? Oh, God.
I have absolutely no idea what that's about.
That's really bizarre. It's where the script kind of goes completely off kilter and it doesn't make any sense at all.
By implicating him in the robberies, it makes it much harder for him to finger them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's imagine this. Okay, let's play it through.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I know we're picking on a 30-year-old action film here.
That's fine. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're here for.
Bodhi's plan is... Because, of course, what's his name? The guy, Lee Turgenson, or whatever his name is. The guy goes on to be on Oz and lots of other sort of bit roles. He says, Rosie, his name is in the film. I'm just going to kill him. He's like, no, you're not. I've got a plan. Okay. So your plan is to implicate him. All right. Surely, when all the other presidents have... a mask, but Utah doesn't. They go, something's up here. And why, when you've been part of 30 robberies over or 27 robberies over 3 years, why have you this time turned up not in a mask? Like, none of it makes any sense. It's the worst plan in the history of the universe. And I don't know whether Bodhi was going to take him with him until whether it was his little brother or just his little mate got killed by the off-duty police officer, who, by the way, is the hero of this film. Basically kills two of them. kills one.
No, he was a... Yeah,
well, kills one of them, sorry. No, kills one of them. Shoots Bodhi, shoots Utah.
That's right.
And they're all okay, yeah. But then he just knocks him out then and leaves him there. And then we get that scene where Pappas knocks out Harp. Which, again, very interesting that you can knock your senior officer out and nobody lifts a finger of all the people around you.
Exactly. It goes all the... I didn't even think about that part, to be honest with you. Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Be having such a good time, you kind of didn't... I don't mind at all. I'm picking this out and telling you, but I don't mind. I'm like, fine. This was great.
Yeah, I started to mind. The further the film went, the more minded, yeah.
All right, let me ask you this, though, okay? So, towards the end of the movie, right? It's all like, you know, the big shootout happens, kills basically everyone, whatever. Then Bodhi and Johnny end up in the plane, like, with an injured Roach character, right? And the plan had always been for all the ex-presidents to skydive out of the plane, meet up with Rosie, and he's been holding on to Tyler, right? So that means when they're in the plane, right, and then finally that Roach dude jumps out and he's off dead, and Patrick Swayze jumps out, and then Keanu Reeves goes, fucker, and jumps out of the plane without a parachute to grab Patrick Swayze.
Right.
That means there were full... There was at least three other parachutes in the plane.
Very good
point. He could have just picked one up and fucking put it on and then jumped. He didn't do it.
Maybe not. Maybe they didn't pack all the other chutes into the plane because they were already
They all would have been, man.
No, well, you're right. The guy who got killed by Pappas, presumably his chute was on the plane. We didn't see that being thrown.
So there was one around, man.
The other guy wasn't. He was already dead back at the bank. So
Yeah,
that's a good point. As is the fact that, and this is what I alluded to earlier, the first sky jump they do, somehow, having never skydived in his entire life, Utah is able to maneuver through the air and form in a perfect 5-point like holding of hands as they're falling.
Because isn't that easy, Paul? It's piss easy. Well, you can just figure it out as you're doing it.
My understanding is skydiving is an absolute piece of piss and no one ever dies from doing it. So, yeah.
By the way, I would never do that.
No. I mean, they make the joke. How do you feel about jumping out of a perfectly good plane, Johnny?
Anyway, yeah.
Then his second ever jump is minus a parachute and he's going to catch a person who's falling, who, by the way, hasn't pulled their parachute yet because that's how physics work.
Yeah, right. And if you miss, by the way, if you miss one time, you're fingered.
Yeah. So, again, problems with that scene. And then, so he does catch
him. But that's why it was so cool, man. It looked so cool.
They do.
It looked cool. All right.
Yeah, it looked cool, sure. It is very well shot, this film. And Johnny does his knee for the 93rd time in this film when they hit the ground, which is the literal crutch this film leans on very, very heavily to get where it needs to go. And then we fast forward to the Bell's Beach coda to the film.
Okay.
Right.
Let's talk about this.
Go on, please. Tell me your
all
thoughts.
All right. Well, first of all, some people are asking what happens to Bodhi at the end, right? To me, it's obvious that he dies. But some people are thinking, well, you never really hear it. And I just read this that James Cameron and his wife, Catherine Bigelow,
at the time,
were doing a Terminator 2 commentary. And they both commented, they just happened to say, that in Point Break, Bodhi traded his life for...
Oh, yeah, that's the obvious implication.
The thrill.
He said, I can't be in a cage, man.
That's right. Where am I going to go? By the way, that is the worst part of the film, all right? Not the Bodhi bit, but the very end, the very last scene where Keanu is trottling off on the beach and then he throws his fucking badge in the
water. Yes, I'm so glad
you
said that.
I'm like, fuck off!
Now...
You just won. You just won, and it took years.
Why did he throw it away? It makes no sense at all. Because
bullshit.
He had to arrest Bodhi, but he wanted to arrest Bodhi. I don't get it. Because he let him go and they knew he would fire him? Well, then we needed a better way of demonstrating that.
Do you know why? It's because it's romantic for the hero to go, fuck this, I'm above it. You know, or just kind of go like, that's it, I'm done. I've done my job. You know, it's much more romantic than, okay, I guess it's time for the ticker tape parade. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just disappointed this film did not spawn not just a sequel, but a series of sequels that could have been exactly like James Bond's that would have been called Johnny Utah.
Dude, give it about 4 years.
Johnny Utah.
Okay? I'm telling you, Keanu's going to turn up at 60.
Diamond, knees are never. That could be a Johnny Utah.
No, but I think that's what he's like. Someone somewhere has gone to him through the years and gone, dude, come on. All right. I know Patrick's gone. All right. But like, you could make it like a Rambo thing. You could make it like a Johnny Utah all of a sudden become this.
Johnny Utah, First Blood Part 2.
Wait. There it is. Your first water. I don't know. It's like he's given away his badge.
First Motocross Part 2.
That's what it is. He's become a drifter. Johnny Utah from being the man
just
throws his
extreme
beach.
Sports.
He's
floating from extreme sport to extreme sport.
No, you know what? I got it. He never left Australia. He just stayed there, and then they shot it in Queensland because it's cheaper. There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
That's Point Break 2, people.
It could be Mad Max 5, Fury Utah.
What are you doing?
All right. Well, there we are. I think that's enough to talk about Point
that's
Break.
Right. That's
the OG.
That's
Wayne,
Point Break,
you're
everyone.
Clearly far more enamored with this film than I am.
Absolutely.
I thought the first half an hour was wonderful. I think the further it went, the dumber it got. And
absolutely.
You're absolutely right. The end scene is by far the worst part of the film and leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So
that's the only thing wrong with it.
Yeah, that's my final thoughts. What's your score? And indeed, any final thoughts?
That final bit cost it 6%.
All right.
It is 94.
Oh, damn.
It's Point Break. Have I seen it 13 times or not? I've seen it.
Is that the highest score you've ever given on this podcast?
I don't know.
It feels very, very high for you. You normally
and
of
I would stand,
peek out
I would stand by it
any
time. I know I'm really like 80s guy. If it's great, but this is I enjoyed watching. I watched a lot of movies this week, and this one went by real quick. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So yep. I'm just saying.
No one knew. I give it a 73. Good
73,
film.
Yeah.
Dug it a lot. You know,
it's fine.
It's higher than 3.5 stars, but it dropped from what used to be a 4 star for me because of
yeah.
how annoyed I was by some of the plot contrivances.
A lot of nostalgia for me, no doubt. There's at least 15 points right there.
Fair enough. All right, that's our review of Point Break. What did you think? Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? You can let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. Head up our listener, Facebook listener community, I should say. The link is in the show notes. Or follow us on podbean.com. Leave some comments and the like there as well. And that is it for our review this week. We'll be back next week with something else. Probably something else classic because... Oh, no. Next week, we're going to do the new Chris Hemsworth film that's out on Netflix, Extraction. So tune in that time for that. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
When it comes to Wayne defending this film, that is his take. Catch you next time. Shit, I forgot to mention the shit-ass Aussie accents at the end of the movie.
I remember that, because they go down to the beach, and then it's like I think it was Peter Phelps. He was actually
was
in that, it, right?
It was Peter Phelps,
and he's like, Utah, you let him go, you fucking can't. Or something like that, not quite
Peter
that.
Peter Phelps is Australian. Why did he put on this shit-ass faux American accent doing Australian?
I reckon he was directed to do it. Like, dude, you don't sound Aussie enough. I want you to play the fucking listen there, can't.
Because there's a bit on the radio. I can't remember what the radio voice says. Something
the radio was also like that.
Radio was like, yeah, heading down a beach. Ah, like, it just sounds so awful.
Beach, you fucking dickheads.
No, that sounds Australian. This did not.
This was not. Yeah, this is some hybrid.